Jeanette wanted you guys to pray for a couple weeks ago. We had 36 people at our house for Christmas. It was a lot of people. We have 8 children. All their spouses came, and then we had 15 grandchildren. So we're not anywhere near the Wisners. But have you guys ever had 36 people in your house at once? All the time. Okay, well, all the time. All right, well, for us, that was kind of new because I think it was like 26 4 years ago when we met. And so this time it was 36. I don't know what we're going to... Every other year we do the Christmas with the family. So, but that was fun. It was all children and grandchildren, and it was exciting. It was a wonderful time. But I am thinking back on my, think back to the best Christmas that you've ever had, or one of the best Christmases. And I want to tell you that one of my best Christmases was back when I was about 12 or 14 years old. My mom worked for an ophthalmologist, and there was a family that came to get eyeglasses. Everybody in the family needed eyeglasses. There was 3 kids and mom and dad. They needed eyeglasses, and they couldn't afford it, so the doctor helped them out. And my parents, my mom found out about it, and that they weren't going to have a very nice Christmas. So my parents went out and bought them a turkey dinner and all the fixings. And then since I was a little kid, 12 or 14, I had my grandfather, my mom's dad, I had him take me to a 5 and 10 store, and I bought Christmas presents and wrapped them myself and gave them to these kids. And that made me feel so good inside that I was able to help somebody that was less fortunate, you know, than me. My parents gave us way too many things when we were growing up. We had wonderful Christmases, but I earned that money by taking my wagon and walking up and down our streets by our house in Arcadia and collecting glass bottles. You guys remember collecting glass bottles? And Fred remembers that. And then there was a market right up on the corner, a couple, 2 or 3 blocks away. And so I'd walk up there and I would exchange them for money. And that's how I earned money at 12 or 14 years of age. And that's how I could pay for these presents. But it was a wonderful time. So it made me feel really good, and you know, doing good is something that we all do, but we all do it to, you know, different degrees and with different motives too. We all have different motives when we do good. But here at the end of 2024, I always like to kind of think back over the year and think, okay, Lord, this year was, you know, it was a little bit difficult. Jeanette's mom died this year, and there was a lot of things that went on this year. Jeanette made 5 different trips to Guatemala this year, back and forth, and it was just crazy. Speaking in churches from the East Coast to the West Coast, and even into Canada, in Spanish and English, and sign language. And so it's just been a crazy year. So I always like to think, okay, Lord, what is it about 2024 that I can change and be better for 2025? And I was thinking about this, and what popped into my mind was Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And Mike actually preached on this last November 2023, and he did a wonderful job. And you guys need to go online onto the website and look it up and listen to him. He taught you the song, and I'll go over that in a minute. But I won't go over the song, but because I don't have time. But you guys can learn about that a little bit more. I'm just going to touch on it briefly, and then go on. But I think it's a good verse. It's what the Lord brought to my mind. And so I would kind of like to give you a message. What does the Lord require of us? What does the Lord require of you? Okay. And like I said, Pastor Mike preached on that right there from Micah 6:8. So, but first I want to pray. So I want you guys to stand on your feet and we're going to pray. This is Stan, by the way, so you stand. All right, all right. Lord, we just thank you for this time, this last Sunday of 2024, this last opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Mike giving me the opportunity to preach today and to share about the ministry. Lord, you are so good to us, and we just thank you for it. Help me with this message. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And as Mike would say, you may be seated. Okay, and this is the sign for seated. You guys can sit down. All right. Okay, so, all right, so in Micah, it's basically an indictment. Some of the chapters in Micah are like an indictment or case against Israel. And Micah 6, God tells Israel to plead their case. And they didn't do a very good job. So in Micah 6:6, the people say, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? What shall I, or shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Do you kind of sense a little bit of of anger and like and kind of haughtiness, you know, in that? It's like, but you know what? I do the same thing. I sometimes I say, "Lord, what else do you want? I mean, I'm giving you my life. I do this. But it's sometimes I just it's like I'm missing the point. And right here, Israel was missing the point. And so then our wonderful verse, Micah 6:8, and this is a song that Mike taught you guys a year ago. And he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. All right? So, and like I said, Mike did a wonderful job. I'm not going to go over this too much, but here the Lord requires us to do justly, to do what is right. We're supposed to do what is right. As Christians, we do what is right. Number two, to love mercy, right? So we're going to, and we're going to do good. We're going to be kind. We're going to show loving kindness, all right? But it's not only to do all those things. It's to love doing them. You know, when we do, you know, we do things, you know, sometimes I'll give some money to the guy at the corner, you know, that's holding up the sign that says, you know, out of work or need money or need help or whatever. Am I doing it, you know, here's some money, you know, or am I doing it because that's what I love to do? I love to show mercy. I love to be good and kind and show loving kindness. Do you see, you guys see the difference in that? And then walk humbly with our God. And, you know, when you think about it, it's hard to do what is right when we're not humbly walking with the Lord. It's hard to be good and to love mercy and to love doing good and being kind and all that if we're not walking humbly with our God. Okay, so that's it. You guys can go back to the message to a year and a month ago and listen to Pastor Mike on that one. But there's another verse in Deuteronomy 12 and 13 that says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good." Now, this is interesting because it reminds me of a, well, let's go over this first. In these verses, the Lord, our God, requires us to, number one, fear the Lord our God. Number two, walk in all of his ways. Kind of sound familiar to Micah 6:8. To love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And number five, keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes. Now, number four reminds me to love him and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Isn't this the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Now remember, they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? You know, which is the one that we should really obey? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then he goes on to say, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But this ties right in with that Deuteronomy verse. And I love it when the Old Testament and the New Testament just kind of fit right together. This is the sign for it, is that they just kind of blend right in. And I look for those things all the time in my Bible reading. Keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes. Now, this verse reminds me of Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I've preached on this before, but this is a key verse. This is the last thing. It's the last part of Matthew, the book of Matthew. And Jesus is talking to his disciples before he goes into heaven. And this is what he tells them. Now, if I'm going to see you guys for the last time, I'm never going to see you again, wouldn't I want to tell you something really, really important? You know, not just don't forget to take the trash out and feed the dog. I mean, you know, I'm going to tell you something really important. And this is what Jesus is saying. He is saying, we're supposed to make disciples. We're supposed to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all the things that the Lord has commanded us. Teaching others to obey things that Jesus taught us and commanded us is the recipe for decreasing pain and suffering in the world. All right? If everybody were to go and to teach and to baptize and to make disciples, you know, we would make a significant decrease in the pain and suffering in the world. And so there's a book out by Jerry Trousdale called Miraculous Movements, and it's about there was one little story. It's about the Muslim and how many Muslims are coming to Christ in these days, and it's a really good book if you guys want to get. I think you can even get it on Amazon, but there's a story in there where a pastor is talking to this Muslim guy down in Africa, and he was a terrible, terrible guy, and he had a bad leg, and he had, the pastor asked him if he could pray for him, so they laid hands on him, prayed for him, and the Lord healed him, and they taught him the scripture, and he made a 180-degree turn, and he wasn't killing people anymore. And the book is filled with all kinds of stories, but like that. So I would encourage you guys to look that up and to read it. But teaching others to obey what Jesus has taught us in the Bible, in this book, you know, is the recipe for decreasing pain and suffering in the world. All right, so conclusion. These eight things involve our direct relationship with God. So we've got the first three from Micah 6:8, and then we've got five items from Deuteronomy 10:12-13. It's do what is right, love mercy, walk humbly, fear the Lord, walk in his ways, love God, serve the Lord with all your heart and soul, keep his commandments. So this is our relationship with God, all right? But God wants a relationship with us, and he wants us to tell others so that they can have a relationship with him too. So yes, we have that connection. We have those eight items that we're supposed to build our relationship with the Father, but then we're all supposed to go out and make disciples and tell others about Jesus and baptize. And we've got to figure out when we can baptize these kids down in Guatemala, these young people in Guatemala. But we have to teach them about what baptism is. And that's the difficult part. So to give you an example, here's a timeline. If you talk about a timeline to the deaf in Guatemala, it just, you might as well be, you know, talking rocket science to them. They have no idea what you're talking about. And so we have to give them a timeline. You know, this is the present. We go back to Adam and Eve, and then you have the future. Tomorrow is the future. Yesterday is the past, but yesterday is the past, and it's not only just yesterday, it's last year and the year before that and hundreds of years and thousands of years before that, because they just don't know. So teaching them these things is very, very important so that they can have that relationship with Jesus that we have. And that we long to have even closer and closer with him. So it's not the thousands of rams, it's not the 10,000 rivers of oil, it's not your firstborn that God wants. He wants your heart. God wants a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you like he walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And I truly believe that. And I think that the more that list of eight things, do what is right, and we're going to love mercy, and we're going to walk humbly, and we're going to fear the Lord and love him and serve him and obey his commandments, okay? And this we can have a wonderful relationship, and this next year we can be thinking about that in 2025, and because he wants to. He wants you to follow him like he is your shepherd, and that's why I have this shepherd stick. Okay, Jesus is our shepherd, and we're supposed to follow him. And you know, the Bible says, you know, Jesus said, "The sheep know my voice," and we need to be listening, and recognizing the voice of Jesus, the voice of God. So, and we would ask that you guys pray for us as we seek to minister and teach the deaf people of Guatemala. Like I said, it's a lot different. It's a much different than teaching a Sunday school class here or for adult Sunday school or even preaching to you guys. You know, I assume that you guys know a lot of things. You cannot assume anything in Guatemala, because these kids, they just don't know. So even Pastor Jonathan, a lot of my time is spent in mentoring him and teaching him so that he can teach. And it's just an exciting ministry. And we thank you guys for praying for us. Thank you, the church, for supporting us. Please pray for us. There's information out there. And get on board. There's a few more days left. If you want to get a contribution in before the end of the year, you can. If you date it in December, we'll even if we get it in January, we'll still count it for this year. So, anyway, again, thank you very much. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that you've allowed me to bring your word. Lord, it's such a privilege to be able to share the stories that you have given us in your word. And Lord, just how we can look at both the Old Testament and the New Testament and really see how you've just kind of molded them together, and it just fits together like a puzzle. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for this church. Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every person here. Lord, that they would really take a look at this year and take a look at next year, and that, Lord, that we would all, myself included, Lord, would just set out to make 2025 a better year than 2024. Not that it wasn't a bad year, but Lord, that we could be even closer to you and follow you even closer, and to have that deeper relationship with you, Lord, that one-on-one relationship with you, Lord. And I thank you for it. But also that we would go out and that we would make disciples, baptize, and teach others about you. We love you and we praise you and we thank you for this church. And we thank you for this time that you've given us. We ask your blessing upon the rest of this day. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.